Our sermon today is based on a reading from John chapter 7, verses 2 through 9. Now, the Jewish festival of Booths was near, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one who wants to be widely known acts in secret. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its works are evil. Go to the festival yourselves. I am not going to this festival, for my time has not yet fully come." After saying this, he remained in Galilee. Dear God, for families who surround us with love and support, we give you thanks. Not this week, but next week is Christian Family Week. And what better way to recognize Christian Family Week than to look at Jesus' family? All right, technically, Jesus was raised in a Jewish family. He followed all the Jewish rituals, such as circumcision, and he celebrated the Passover and attended the Festival of Booths. He went to the temple. He worshiped in a synagogue. He was a Jewish child who grew up to become a Jewish man. We don't often think about Jesus' family beyond his mother Mary at Christmas, and the fierce debate continues about whether the brothers mentioned in today's scripture were Jesus' actual brothers. That debate continues. There are those who, for instance, believe Mary never had another child after having Jesus, the doctrine of the so-called perpetual virginity of Mary. These adherents insist that those who were called Jesus' brothers here are in reality his cousins, his mother's sister's children, or other relatives, not blood kin, or even Joseph's sons from a previous marriage. I'll tell you in a moment why I think these are indeed Jesus' brothers, the sons of Mary and Joseph. Okay, technically his half-brothers. In Matthew's gospel, they are named James, Joseph or Joseph, Simon, and Judas. These are also the names of some of Jesus' disciples, so others believe that maybe Matthew got a little mixed up and equated the disciples with Jesus' brothers. But his brothers weren't disciples. They didn't speak like disciples. Jesus' disciples never tried to force his hand to make him go where he didn't want to go or do what he wasn't ready to do. Quite the contrary, Peter even tried at one point to get Jesus not to go to Jerusalem to meet his destiny. And for the most part, Jesus' disciples believed in him. When some wannabe disciples decided they couldn't hang with Jesus anymore because of some of the things he said, Jesus asked his faithful followers, "Do you wish to go too?" And Peter replied, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." One last point I want to make about whether these were Mary's sons born after Jesus. Why wouldn't God allow Mary to have more children? She deserved that. She had been absolutely obedient in bearing Jesus the Messiah. She should have been rewarded with more children. Her culture stressed that it was a blessing to have children. So just because she had the ultimate child didn't mean she should never be allowed to have any others. Jesus is called Mary's firstborn son, which to me implies she had other children besides Jesus. And I am cool with that. It doesn't detract from her blessedness to have had other children. Alas, we will never know for sure the truth of the matter until the day when all the mysteries are solved and all our questions are answered. What startled me when I read this passage were the words, "For not even his brothers believed in him." Did those words startle you too? That's hard to hear, hard to fathom. How could they not believe in Jesus? Weren't they privileged to have a daily front row seat to his miracles and his other wonders? Did they realize what an honor it was to be part of Jesus' earthly family? What was it like growing up with Jesus? Was he a fun kind of big brother, leading his brothers on different adventures? Was he protective of his sisters? Or was he a bossy pants like my brother, Ted? Ted used to go into the kitchen to see what our mother was making for dinner, and then he'd come out and tell me and my other brother, Tony, "We don't like that, so we're not going to eat it." And even if it was something that Tony and I liked, we deferred to Ted because he was the big brother and the unabashed boss of us. We did whatever Ted said. What kind of family dynamics were going on that made John write that sentence, for not even his brothers believed in him? Apparently, Jesus was doing some miracles or other works of power even in their small town of Galilee. Were his brothers impressed? Is that why they told him, take your act to the big time, make your mark in Judea, show yourself to the world, go after fame and acclaim, the applause and the awes? What was the brothers' motive in urging Jesus to take his act on the road? And was that how they thought of his wonders and his miracles, just an act, a sideshow? Did they downplay what he did as so much fluff or just magic tricks? Why were they trying to make sure Jesus made a name for himself, to make it possible for them to kind of piggyback on his fame and fortune? Was this brotherly advice a sincere attempt to get Jesus to broaden his horizons and get his name out there so people would know who he was and he could get more followers? The brothers were thinking in a worldly way. If you want to get known, they told Jesus, you can't stay in an obscure place like Galilee. You got to put yourself out there. Go to Judea. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. That's what they advised him to do. Well, it wasn't good advice. Jesus was in Galilee because in Judea, his enemies were plotting to kill him. Were his brothers, dare we ask, jealous of him and seeking a way to get him out of town so they wouldn't have to live in his shadow any longer? Did Mary commit that maternal faux pas of openly preferring Jesus over the other children like Jacob did with Joseph? And we know how that turned out. Jesus' brothers told him to go somewhere where he could potentially be killed, and Joseph's brothers tried to make it happen themselves. When it was time for Jesus' birthday celebration, did Mary and Joseph bring up again the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, making his other siblings feel as though they were so much chopped liver, born in obscurity without fanfare? Sibling rivalry in the Bible wasn't new. Even Miriam and Aaron, Moses' older sister and brother, got jealous of him and made some snide remarks. Does God only speak through Moses? What about us? Hasn't the Lord spoken through us too? Jesus wasn't trying to show up or show off for his brothers. He knew he had only to answer to God. I don't imagine Jesus ran around Galilee saying, I'm not Joseph's son, I'm God's son, although he certainly didn't deny being the son of God. I am sure Jesus loved his family and didn't want to alienate them, but he also loved his heavenly Father, and he knew what his life's priority was, obeying his will and doing what God wanted him to do. So why do I think these mentioned here are Jesus' actual or half-brothers, later sons of Mary and Joseph, and not fake relatives or cousins? There's a saying that goes, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Jesus' brothers did something that showed they were indeed their mother's children. You ever say something and think to yourself, that sounds just like my mother? For instance, one time Winston, my dog, stood at the top of the stairs while I was at the bottom, and he couldn't seem to make up his mind what to do, to come downstairs or stay upstairs. Without even thinking about it, I said something my mother used to say. Look at him standing there like Ned in the First Reader. I have no idea who Ned in the First Reader was. That was something my mother often said when someone, me or my brothers, were acting clueless. And I followed that up with another momism. He's like a lost ball in high weeds. You ever have that happen? You open your mouth and your mother comes out. I've often wished I could have asked my mother to describe what Lexington was like when she was growing up, to visit the houses she lived in and the school she went to. And I often wish she would have told me who Ned in the First Reader was. Jesus' brothers actually echoed something they'd heard their mother say and did something they'd seen their mother do. Remember the wedding at Cana? When Mary turned to Jesus and said, they're out of wine. And Jesus said, what's that got to do with me? My time is not yet come. It was a family failing, this attempt to try to push Jesus to do what they wanted him to do when they wanted him to do it, to make him make his move in their time rather than God's time. Just like Mary did, The brothers had seen and remembered this incident and then repeated it. That's why I think they were really Jesus' brothers born of Mary. You carry on those family traditions whether you want to or not sometimes. But it was not up to his brothers or his mother to decide when the time was ripe for him to go to Jerusalem or change water into wine. Jesus told them in both instances, "My time has not yet come." In reality, it was God's time. He was waiting for God to give him the go-ahead. It would be unfaithful and disobedient for Jesus to go when he felt like it. The final decision was God's. Just as their mother had done, Jesus' brothers were trying to push his hand and make him do what they thought he should do, go to Judea, before Jesus got the clear signal from God that it was time for him to go. Because one time when he went to Judea would be the time he would go there to die. His brothers were not authorized to tell him when to go. Apparently, they didn't know or understand what Jesus was about, and that's sad because they were, after all, his family. He grew up right among them. They should have had an idea of his mission in life, and they should have supported him and believed in him. Did it hurt Jesus' heart to find his family didn't support him 100%? A passage in Mark describes his family coming to the place where he was preaching. They were concerned because people were saying he had gone out of his mind, and so they decided they would make him come home, an intervention of sorts. But he refused to go with them. He chose his work for God over his family ties. Well, the story is not entirely hopeless. In Acts, we read about the disciples who gathered in Jerusalem after Jesus' ascension to await the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's Pentecost in just a few weeks. The scripture says all these, the disciples, were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Mary, as well as his brothers, they came around. They came to believe. Now we are Jesus's brothers and sisters, unabashedly proclaiming we believe in him. He is stretching out his hand and he is pointing to us. May we pray. Dear God, today we have become Jesus' brothers and sisters. Today we confess our faith in him, we believe in him, and we covenant anew to follow him wherever he leads us. Thank you for sending him to walk among us, to teach us, to help us and heal us, and to welcome us into your eternal family. Amen. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? All those who gather round Jesus Christ, Spirit-blown people born from the gospel, sit at the table round Jesus Christ. Differently abled, differently widen the circle around Jesus Christ. Crutches and stigmas, culture's enigmas, all come together around Jesus Christ. Love will relate us, color or status can't segregate us around Jesus Christ. Family failings, human derailings, all are accepted around Jesus Christ. Bound by one vision, met for one mission, we claim each other around Jesus Christ. Here is my mother, here is my brother, kindred in spirit.